Thank you for your goodness, for what we are experiencing in this place this day. God, we're a miracle that we're here in the first place. We ask that you strengthen and keep your people, your bride. Lord, that you'd bless the offering and the tithes. All good gifts come from above, but we release those gifts by our giving. And Lord, let there be an anointing on your word this evening. Allow it to touch our mind, but allow it to sink down in our heart. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would turn to Psalms 44 and verse number 1. It says, "We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us, what works thou didst in their days, in the time of old." So what it's saying is, we heard our fathers, we heard those people before us, all about the great things that you did, God. Amen. The only way our kids can hear is for us to tell them. Amen. And then if you turn to Joshua chapter 4, verse number 1, "And it came to pass when all of the people were clean pressed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man. And command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. And Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of the Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan, and waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." Amen. You may be seated. You've all heard this preached from time to time. I've preached it on a number of occasions. The 12 stones placed in the Jordan River to remind future generations of the miracles of God. There are a lot of people who don't believe that miracles happen anymore. Maybe perhaps because people aren't telling others of the miracles. You know, when something great happens in this church, we need to tell those outside these walls about what God is doing. Amen. A place where God's people passed from wilderness to freedom. A constant reminder to their children and to their children's children. We have all experienced miracles in our own lives that we'll never forget. There are memorials from time to time that God specifically did for each and every one of us. And God is saying, you know what, in times of trouble, in times of doubt, go back to those memorials. Remember them. Specific to each of us, which helps us maintain our faith and our strength in God. But have our children, especially those who are raised in the church, experience the same type of miracles. They can't be satisfied with the stories of their fathers and mothers. They have to have their own testimonies. They have to have their own miracles. They need to test the waters for themselves. They need to get to the place where they pray for somebody else, or they believe that there are great things happening. here at the Jordan River where the waters parted and all of the people crossed on dry ground, the Lord knew that over time, generations to come who were not firsthand participants in the miracle would soon lose a connection to it. And he wanted them to know that there was a memorial. There was something that was set up visibly, physical, that they could see that would remind them, or at least cause them question in their mind, well, what's this all about? When people walk into our church, they see us raising our hands and worshiping the way we do and praying for people at the altar. And there has to be a question in their mind, why are they doing that? See. Perhaps just a story that grandpa told, or maybe a forgotten legend that used to happen. How many people open the book and read about all of the things in the Bible, but they don't expect them to happen to them? Something that happened in the past. God told Joshua that this may be a sign among you. So future generations would ask that question, what do these stones mean? The last words of Jesus before he ascended into heaven were to leave signs for a future generation to ask, what do these signs mean? Amen. It was like Joshua, you know? He needed to show a future generation that there was a sign of miracles. So if you turn to Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, very familiar scripture to most of us. He's just about to be ascended into heaven, and he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. There was a funeral this afternoon for Michael Brehm, who was baptized on the 18th of this month and died Tuesday of a heart attack. And the funeral was in a family Baptist church, and they recognized Apostolic Faith Church as getting him ready for where he was going, that he was baptized for the remission of sins. We had an effect on them. Somehow, through it, there'll be new life that will come. Mark 16 and 17 says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. We don't follow the signs follow us. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, or have power over the devil, and if they drink any deadly thing, if any thoughts come into their mind, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. These are the signs of the true believers. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. And what? Confirming the word with signs following. Amen. We got the truth, and we've got the signs that point to the truth. It's so simple to say, well, this is what Jesus said would follow us. Amen. And I'm glad we can point to those things. Has our present generation experienced what Jesus left for us? You know, we can lose this in one generation. Not just heard the stories, but experienced what God said we could have. We shouldn't have to go back 10 years to talk about what happened, but just last week or this week. Church, we need to have fresh signs every week. There needs to be an experience in our life over and over again. Most denominational churches don't believe in miracles. They read about them as a legend or something that happened in the past but couldn't happen right now. These signs shall follow them that believe. We've got the evidence, we've got the truth, and God confirming the word with signs that follow. We must follow the signs or the stones that can't be moved. Amen. His name was Douglas Mackerman. He was a CIA agent operating in China in the 1940s. And when China fell to communist forces in 1949, Mackerman stayed behind while all of the other people in the embassy left, because he remained to destroy sensitive documents that they had in the embassy. But the time that he left, there was no more normal transportation out of the country. Nothing safe anymore. And so the only option that he and five men with him had was to walk out of China in order to get to Tibet, the only free place that they could go. It was an arduous journey. They suffered the rigors of thirst and heat in the desert that first they had to cross, and then the bitter cold and the high mountains suffering frostbite and frigid temperatures that caused their feet and their hands sometimes to turn blue. It was a challenge to get to the freedom. Anybody have any challenges in order to get to freedom? Anybody have any challenges to get away from sin, from the enemy? From time to time, we're going to have to take a journey and get through some areas. It was hard for these five men to stay on the right path or the right trail in order to get to the place or the destination that they could have freedom. It was snow-covered in many places and difficult to see where others had gone. So anytime they encountered some of the local population, they would ask the most important question that they could ask, and that is this the way to safety? And they would always begin and say the same thing: follow the stones. From time to time on their long journey, they would encounter large mounds of rocks alongside the trail. And every time they saw a great big mound of rocks, they would know we're still on the right path. And though they didn't understand the significance of it, every time they saw these stones, they knew they were safe, they were going in the right direction, and finally, they arrived at their destination in Tibet, all because they followed the stones. And only after their long trip did they learn what those stones really meant. The ground at those elevations was perpetually frozen, so when a traveler died, it was impossible to bury them. So they would pile mounds of stones over their bodies. Each mound of stone was a guidepost to those who would follow them. They died there, but it showed them a way that they could go. The safe path was actually the place where a traveler from a previous generation had fallen. Follow the stones. Really meaning, be sure you're still on the same path used by the generation before you. If there's a message for the church today, is make sure you're on the same path as the generation before you. Those who experienced this years ago, you can have the same experience. I believe there's greater experiences and greater signs that we should see in the future. Amen. Moses told the children of Israel to stay on the right path to be saved. He said, God wants to bless you, God wants to give to you, but you have to do the right thing and stay on the right path. No good thing would he withhold to those that walk uprightly. So you have to understand there's a prerequisite. If we'll do what God wants us to do and stay on the path that God wants us to be on, we can have whatever we want. Would you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 20. Moses said, and when thy sons asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you. Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondsmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. You need to rehearse that. Listen, we were in sin. We were in bondage. We didn't have freedom, but God brought us out. Can we relate to that? We didn't know anything about the goodness of God, but God brought us out. Rehearse it. Tell them over and over again. Glory to God. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in. You got to come out in order to get in, to give us the land which he swore unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all of these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded. God's saying, stay on the right path. Do the right thing. There's so much I want to give you, but you have to stay on the right path. Church, we have to continue on the same path that those before us were on. And we need some guidance. We need some signs. They blazed a trail for us with great sacrifice so we could follow in their example. You know, when I came into the church, Pentecost was looked down at, and if you spoke in other tongues, you were of the devil. We came in a time where no one dressed properly at all. Today, ladies have an option, long skirts, short skirts. At least we're accepted in a way that we weren't back in the 70s, 60s, or 50s. And there were men and women who stood for the right things, and God blessed them. There were moves of God. Hallelujah. What God has done for them not only gives us confidence and power in our lives, but it also provides us a pathway that is tested and safe for the trip, you see, if we'll hold on to the things that they held on to. It's a new generation, but it's not a new doctrine. It's a new generation, but it's not a different path, you see. Yes, as I said last Sunday morning, there are many giants that have influenced our spiritual lives, past messages and people's lives that have guided us. But there are many piles of stone that mark our trail, of whom masses will never, ever hear of. People who have stayed the course, that you'll never hear their name, they'll never have any position or authority. The many godly men and women who have been faithful, and they pray on a daily basis and pray for the church, the Sunday school teachers and the children in Power Hour and Children's Church who taught for decades without any recognition whatsoever. They are laying out mounds of stones to say, this is the direction, this is where you should go. There are Bible study students, teachers who have sacrificed giving their time and investing in people that nobody else would ever invest in. Hallelujah. And God's saying, that's the direction to go. They're life monuments that should guide our steps. Our doctrine should mirror theirs. Our commitment should follow their commitment. Our love for the lost should reflect their love for the lost. We should use them as an example for what we should be. Our commitment to righteousness and separation and lifestyle and appearance should be as firm as theirs was. You see, it can't be a watered-down version of what Pentecost used to be. It can't be a modernized version of what the church will accept today. It's what God wants, not what we want. So we do these things to be sure that there are pillars for other people to follow and walk next to, you see. They offer us safety and security on our journey to eternity. If we'll follow the stones. And one day, God himself will give us a white stone if we've done well. Hallelujah. Take your Bibles and turn to Revelation. I'm not preaching long tonight. Revelation, the second chapter. And verse number 17. An intriguing verse. It says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna." You know, if we'll dedicate our lives, if we'll stay on the right path, God is going to show us things that he has never showed anyone else. Nothing gets me more excited about revelations that I see, little revelations within the Word of God. I've never seen that before. I get all excited about it. But as we live for God, God opens our eyes and our understanding to things that are absolutely incredible. An angel standing in the door here a couple of years ago, and some of the things that we've seen that no other generation has seen before. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. And I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth save he that receiveth. Interesting. The word stone here means a stone that has worn smooth from handling. And the impression I got is that each of us will get a white stone. And the reason it's so smooth is God has been touching that stone over and over, waiting in order to give you that white stone that will have a name on it that God has given to each and every one of us that no one else knows. He has established a name for each and every one of us and given us, or wants to give us, that white stone with that name. That word stone also means a ballot or a verdict of acquittal and a ticket of admission. All right, you've done well. Here's your white stone. This is the name that I have for you, and this is your acquittal from all sin, and this is your admission into eternity with me. Because you stayed on the path. Oh, I don't want to get to that day where I almost made it. I almost got that white stone that he has been polishing, just waiting. You can't get in without a white stone of admission. But he has one for each and every one of us. 12 stones. We have many more than 12 stones in this church. I was thinking today as I was putting this message together, I like to bring 12 boulders in here, but my back hasn't been real good. And something that would demonstrate. I was thinking, we have stones in this church. And I started to think about all the people 34 years ago that was in this little bitty church in Sturtevant. Let me just read some. I hope I don't leave a name off. Brother and Sister Moran, Brother and Sister Gilgenbach, Brother Dorflinger, Brother and Sister Dixon, Brother and Sister Hefner, Brother and Sister Stiles, Brother and Sister Showman, Brother Frank Tompkins, Brother Todd Tompkins, Sister Carpenter, Brother Larry Graff, Brother Todd Graff, Sister Schumacher, were you there? Sister Schumacher, Sister Portman, all were here from the very beginning in this little building. And how have they affected the path that everybody else has been walking on for years and years? You see them faithful. You see them teaching. You see them go through things, and they're still loving God. They're still worshiping when it's not easy to worship. But they are a mound of stones that guide us to a place where we have freedom. Hallelujah. Stones guiding our safe passage, faithful, never changing, always there, in thick and thin, in the heat and the cold, in loss. I thought today of Brother Tom Gruling, who used to dance right there. He used to cause me to be overwhelmed with the joy that I saw in his dance. And Brother Carpenter, and how he had affected so many people, our young people, and Brother Curatolo, who most of you don't know, and Sister Terry Bailey, who all those who have been pillars and stones in the church. Hallelujah. If I've missed any of you that were there, I'm sorry, but God recognizes you. And he's waiting to give you a white stone. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? For years, I remember singing this song, God's Been Good, Really Been Good. He's been so good to me, I can't let him down. I can't let him down. Can't let him down, he's been so good to me. Finish the walk. Stay on the path. Don't be persuaded to go in a different direction. The altar's open, would you come?